That is a favorite subject for every Baptist, and that is your wallet. If you'll turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. Now, usually when we start off like that or say something like that, you know, we get caught up in all the emotional presentations and all of that. But can I just ask you, you know, how is all of this financed? You know, we know that mission work is expensive. It's costly. You say, well, God does it. Yes, He does. It's His work. He finances His work. I'm grateful for that. But what's interesting about this is that He uses His people to be a part of that. I want to speak to you tonight on the example of giving. The example of giving. I think if we could ever understand the overall principle in the Bible of giving, it would just touch our hearts in a way and our lives in a way that only God can. You know, there's just so much in the Scripture about giving. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:38, He said, "Give, and it shall be." That's a commandment. "Give, and it shall be given unto you." But He goes on and describes the process. He says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." And then He says, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom." Wow. Have you ever studied that process? Yeah, I believe every word that Jesus ever mentioned had meaning. I don't think He just frivolously just threw words out there to be saying it. Every single word. "Good measure," He says, "pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom." Folks, only God can give that way. In other words, you can't outgive God. "Give and it shall be given unto you." I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I would, I had two siblings besides myself, and I was the youngest. And during the summertime, my dad would allow me and my brother to go spend a week or two with my grandmother. And then after we got back, he'd allow my sister to go, and she'd spend a week or two with grandmother. He wouldn't let us all go together because all we'd do is fuss and fight, you know. But if he separated us, it worked out a lot better. Well, grandmother, she was up at 5, you know, feeding the chickens and the cows and all that stuff and working in the garden. And by the way, if you were there, you were out there with her. That's just how it worked. And I remember picking peas, you know, as a kid. And she had these big bushel baskets, you know. And me and my brother, we had plans that day, and we'd go through that row and just picking them just as fast as we could pick them, you know, because we had plans, we had things we wanted to do. And then we'd bring it back, and we'd set it on the porch, and we'd take off running. And I can hear her now calling our name, "Stop, stop, come back." She'd say, "Brian, you grab one side, Mitch, you grab the other side, and shake." I mean, we had it filled up to the top, you know, just covered up. And we started shaking that big bushel basket. And something phenomenal began to happen. All those peas started going down. And she'd say, "Shake, shake." And we'd shake. And after we got done, she said, "Well, look at there. There's plenty more room for more peas. Go get more." "Press down, shaking together, running over," Jesus said, "shall men give to your bosom." And God is the one who is in charge of that. I don't understand why many times when we talk about the subject of giving that it's such a heartache for God's people. Friend, the whole Christian life is about giving. God gave unto us His Son. His Son gave His life for us. You and I give ourselves unto Him. The whole Christian life is on the basis of giving. Giving. What a privilege. Now, when you read the two letters of 1 and 2 Corinthians, actually, Paul, in both of these letters, deals with the subject of giving. If you remember, there's an exhortation on giving in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul begins there by talking about, now concerning the collection of the saints. He says, as I've instructed the churches of Galatia, he says, so do I you. And he says, remember that those famous words upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay in store by him as God has prospered him. And you got to understand what was going on. I mean, it concerned the needs of the believers at the church at Jerusalem. This was a time when there was a severe famine. had affected the economic, basically the landscape for more than 10 years. And they were in need of finances. And Paul was saying, just like I instructed the churches of Galatia, he says, I want you to give as well. And he told them how to do that. So he gave a clear command to help in this need by giving. By the way, giving is a Christian obligation. Just like prayer, just like worship, just like fellowship, it is a Christian obligation. Well, when you come to 2 Corinthians, he spends two chapters talking specifically on the subject of giving and the benefits and the blessings of giving. And he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example. And he's teaching the church at Corinth, this is how you ought to do it. This is what giving is all about. And friend, when you began to study the churches of Macedonia, what Paul tells us here in these two chapters, we're not going to look at both chapters tonight, but I do want you to look at chapter 8 and begin reading in verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit or to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now he says, I want you to understand something about these churches. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Amen. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. Y'all, that this is beyond their ability. Amen. Okay? He says, beyond their power, they were willing, there's the key, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. He says, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's talking about grace giving. This grace that is attached to giving. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So now he goes back here to the example of the Macedonian churches. And if you know anything about the Macedonian churches, when you study them, basically the churches in Macedonia that he's talking about are the churches in Philippi, the churches in Berea, and the churches in Thessalonica. All of these form the Macedonian area here. And these believers had heard of the need in Jerusalem, and they gave. So what I want to do tonight, I just want to dive back in here for just a few minutes, and I want you to see what the things that Paul is talking about. And friend, listen, we're in the middle of a faith promise missions giving, and just how wonderful that is, giving by faith, giving beyond our power, giving beyond our ability. It's not about you, it's about what God can do through you. And that's what he's talking about here. But friend, this is bigger than this. This is bigger than faith promise. He's dealing with just the essence of giving and what giving is all about. This is such a tough subject for some, but it should never be. It should never be. Two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see their example is for celebration. Their example is for celebration. You say, now what do you mean by that, Brother Brian? Paul is basically hailing the churches of the Macedonians. They were role models when it came to stewardship. That's what he's talking about. These churches are role models. They were celebrated for their giving. And then he breaks down how they gave. And I want you to see this. This is awesome. Number one, they gave congregationally. Now look at verse 1. There's something you'll look over every time you read this if you're not careful. Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. You see that? Churches, plural. The churches of Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica, all of those formed the churches, the local churches of Macedonia. They gave congregationally, and that's very interesting. Now, you say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Brian? Well, it does not say that the Macedonians were recognized for their giving as individual Christians. They were recognized for giving through their church. Do you see the difference there? I hadn't paid attention to that really before. Basically, what I'm trying to say, it was not individual giving that was celebrated. It was institutional giving that was celebrated. So he begins by saying, hey, you know, it's important. Now, I understand in order for a church to give, individuals have to do that. I get that. I understand that. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 that unto him be glory in the church. Right? The church is a storehouse. Just like the tabernacle and the temple were the storehouse, the Old Testament, the Lord's New Testament churches today are the storehouse even today. You see, if a Christian gives a nice offering, then that Christian will be recognized. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so would be recognized in that. But when Christians give in and to the church, think about it like this. Our individual offerings, whether it's small or large, loses its personal identity. That's what happens in a church. It loses its personal identity, and then the whole church receives the recognition for giving. That's what he's commending here. That's why it's important. They gave congregationally. They also gave sacrificially. I think verse 2 is probably one of the most astounding verses that you'll read in both of these chapters. Concerning this, I want you to see how he described how they gave. Notice the words that he used, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. You see that? Their deep, great trial, deep poverty. That's how he's explaining how they gave. It says it that abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You see, many people today have the idea that only people with considerable money should give. Well, unfortunately, that's where a lot of churches are. Well, if I had what Brother so-and-so had or Sister so-and-so, then I could. I've heard all that in my ministry. You know, in other words, God is exempting me from giving because I don't have what so-and-so has. You know, let Mike give, let John give, let Sally give, you know, that kind of thing, you know. But listen, people give you the impression that they're exempt from giving because they don't have vast sums of money. He eliminates that thought right here in this verse. He shatters it. I want you to see how they gave. Let me ask you this question. What did the churches of Macedonia give out of? Does it say that they gave out of stock reserves? Does it say that they gave out of CDs? Does it say that they gave out of their savings? Absolutely not. Great trial, deep poverty. That's the churches you're dealing with. Trial. That word trial is interesting. It means literally purging. It comes from a word that is used for the purification of precious metal. In other words, intense heat would be applied to that metal. And you know, the impurities would fall away, and that's how that metal was refined. This is where these people were. The heat was on these people. But yet in their great trial, they gave. Wow. Why? There was a need. There was a need. God's people had a need. And not only does he use the word trial, but he talks about poverty. And not just any type of poverty, deep poverty. And when you study that word, it literally means abject poverty. These were people who were literally at the bottom. They were destitute in life. They didn't have it to give, but that didn't stop them from giving. Isn't it amazing? Some of the greatest examples we have in the Bible on giving is with so little. You remember the widow and the two mites? Which is what, a penny and a half? A cent or 2 cents? Yeah, nothing. But yet every time you open your Bible, there she is. She's commended. Every time you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians, there they are. The churches of Macedonia, and it wasn't because of the great amount of money that they had saved up or in their bank accounts. Listen, the greatest givers that I have ever known are often with those that have so little. That is a fact. That is an absolute fact. This is because it's not what they give, but it's how they give. You see, God's not so much concerned about the amount as he is the motivation of your giving. I remember one of the churches I pastored in South Arkansas years ago. Around Christmas time, you know, they do special things for their pastor and family. And this particular church had you sit at a big table and everybody brought in cards and all of that. And they wanted you to open all the cards in front of the people, you know, and all of that. And it was just so nice. I mean, people would give you, gift cards and money and just all kinds of things. And we were just grateful for anything, you know, wasn't expecting anything. But it was just, I was just so grateful to see that kind of love poured out. But I remember this one card that I got, and I opened it up, and I recognized the name. Sister Clyde was her name. And I knew her situation, and I'm not spending a lot of time going into her situation, but she was kind of like one of these people of the churches of Macedonia. She had nothing. And I remember I opened that card, and there was five $1 bills in that card. And I don't know if I've ever received a gift in my life that touched me the way that gift touched me, because I knew her situation. I knew her history, and I knew where she was. It's not so much, and I knew that was something that she had to save for. You hear me? It's not the amount. That little box that you got on your Faith Promise Missions giving, your card, $5 a week, $10 a week, or $10 a month. It's not the amount as much as it is the motivation. What can God trust you? What is God willing to do through you? How much faith do I have in God in order to provide that specific amount? And that's just one aspect of our giving. They also gave amazingly. Look at verse 3. It says, "For to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power." All of this was possible because of the willingness that they had in their hearts. You see, some people look at their resources and they believe that that's where the level of giving begins and ends. This is what I've got. Folks, that's a myth. That is actually a myth. The truth is, we can all do more than we ever imagined we were able to do. That's a fact. The giving of the Macedonians was not natural. The giving of the Macedonians was supernatural. They gave beyond their power. They didn't have it. They didn't have it to start with. But yet what they gave was something that God provided unto them. It wasn't something that they saved, so it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. You know, some try to give in a way that is destined to fail. A lot of people, they'll sit down and they'll add up all their bills and, they'll pay their bills and they'll set aside extra money for incidentals and all that. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. They put money back for monthly nights out, and eating and entertainment and all that. And then at the end of the month, if anything's left over, they'll give it to the Lord. Boy, I'm sure glad the Lord don't give to us that way. Amen. Leftovers, you know what I mean? And without a bit of personal conviction, they say, "Here's what I'm able to do." No, friend, you don't understand. You don't understand the concept. This type of individual and family will never benefit from God's economy. But this kind of church will. That's what he's talking about. This kind of church will. You see, giving is not about your ability. It never has been about your ability. It's about what God can do, and it's always more than what you and I can imagine, because it's Him doing the giving through us. You're seriously mistaken if you believe you are to do only what you can do. Y'all, that leaves God out of the equation. If I look at giving as this is all I can do, well, then that just totally leaves God out. One of the wealthiest men who ever lived, King David, had a handle on that. You go back and read 1 Chronicles chapter 29, there in verse 14, when you remember he had a desire to basically build a house for the Lord, and God told him, said, "No, you're a man of war. You've shed blood. You're not going to build that house, but your son Solomon is going to build that house." And so David took the remainder of his time gathering all, everything he could, all putting money. I mean, Israel, they collected gold and silver and money and all of that. And there in chapter 1 Chronicles 29, later on in that chapter, verse 14, he asked the question, he's praising God for everything that was given. And he says, "How can we do this in and by ourselves?" And basically saying, "We can't. God, it is you that gives in and through your people." That principle, it was even there in the Old Testament. They gave amazingly. They also gave willingly. Look at verse 3. It says, "Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Some people say that you can't get people to give without putting pressure on them, without using some type of gimmick, without using some type of guilt. And some try to make us feel like we have to give. Others try to make us feel like we ought to give. I want to tell you something. That's not true and it's not right. Christian stewardship is absolutely voluntary. God didn't force them to do this. They were willing of themselves. It's a privilege. That's how they looked at it. What a privilege. They also gave urgently. Look at verse 4. It says, watch this. Praying us, these are the churches of Macedonia, these poor churches, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive it. Do you see that? We can't wait to give. We have a desire to give. You take it now. There's such a need. Wow. I'm talking poor, y'all. Destitute people. They got excited about their opportunity to give to this need. You see, the grace of giving will open your heart, but it'll also open your hand. The grace of giving. That's what he's talking about. They gave urgently. They also gave personally. In verse 5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord." That's where it starts. That's where this whole principle of giving starts. True giving is seen as a grace, a privilege. They were not trying to get out of giving. If anybody had an excuse and said, "You know what? We'd love to help, but look at us. We have nothing." Let me ask you something. They would say, "We have so little." I wonder what God can do with so little. I wonder if we have any stories in the Bible about God doing big things with little stuff. You see what I mean? What about a little boy and his lunch? You know, a sack lunch, and he said, "This is all we could find. You know, you got to let the people go. They got to have something to eat." Jesus said, "You feed them. You feed them." Oh, with what? With what? That's our excuse today. How? With what? He says, "All we got's a little boy and his lunch. Little is much when God is in it." I'm telling you, friend, they fed 5,000 and they had 12 baskets left over. And I'm not talking, when you think basket, please don't think about these little wicker baskets like this. No, friend, these were tubs. 12 tubs left over. I tell you, when God touches it, everything changes. And that's why giving, whether it's to missions, whether it's whatever need it is in and through the church. I know our emphasis is missions this week, but it's amazing. All these missionaries, and it's hard for them. Y'all listen to me. It is hard to come to a place and say, "We need financial support." That's not an easy thing to do. I know it may come easy for some people, but that's not an easy thing to do. So they'll preface that by saying, number one, "We need your prayer support." And then, by the way, that's right. That's right. But you and I know is how in the world are they going to build all these churches in around San Jose and there in Bolivia? How's that going to happen? It's going to happen through the grace giving of God's people. That's how it's going to happen. How is it going to happen in Brazil? Same way. How is it going to happen anywhere else? Same way. The grace giving of God's people. They gave personally. They also gave spiritually. It says, "But they first gave of their own selves to the Lord as unto us, and unto us by the will of God." You see, the giving of the Macedonians was not about legalism. It was about lordship. That's what the giving was all about. I can't stand it when people try to convince and get people to give out of legalism. Legalism, it kills it. It kills the whole thing. It's not about legalism. It's about lordship. Who is your Lord? You know, we love to talk about Jesus as our Savior. And some people, that's about all they want. They want the Savior aspect of Jesus. He saved me from my sins. Friend, the Bible also calls Him your Lord and Savior. He's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. He owns me, lock, stock, and barrel. He owns everything. And listen, it's not my money. It's His money. None of this is mine. It's all His. What can He trust me with?
That's the way God looks at it. It wasn't about legalism, it was about lordship. And that's what makes Christian giving different from any other kind of giving. Amen. That's why it's so different. All the resources come from God. So basically, when you break that principle down, giving is directing God's resources back to God for His distribution. Do you see what I'm saying? It's taking what's already His, giving it back to Him, and He's distributing it wherever the need is. It's a part of our worship. I'm telling you what, when that plate goes around on Sunday morning, that is just as much a part of worship as prayer and fellowship and preaching of the Word of God. It's part of our worship. And if our priority is to give ourselves over to the Lord, then we'll have little problems with giving our resources to the Lord. Because we understand, He owns me. Paul said, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It belongs to Him. Your resources too. So their example here is for celebration. Their example is also for motivation. You see, Paul had every intention that the mentioning of the generosity of the Macedonian churches, why is he sharing this with the church at Corinth? Why is he telling this church about these other churches? To motivate them. If they can do it in their situation, what's my problem? What's my excuse that I'm going to use? It's kind of like that wise old rooster who one day when all the hens were out there in the yard, he rolled an ostrich egg out in the hen yard. You ever seen an ostrich egg? He just rolled it out there in the hen, and boy, all the hens started gathering around this ostrich egg. Boy, I mean, just looking with amazement. And finally, after they were all locked on this thing, he said, ladies, he said, I don't mean to put anything down you've done before. He said, I just want you to see what other hens are doing in other parts of the world. Walked away. Motivation. Sometimes we just need a little motivation. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If this doesn't motivate you to give... Oh my goodness. It should convict us if we're not giving like we can and should. It should also constrain us to keep giving throughout all the days of our life. And it should comfort us in considering even if we only give a little, little is much when God is in it. It really is. Now, you can read the remainder of chapter 8. It's all on giving. You can go to chapter 9. It's a continuation of giving. Two chapters on giving. And here's what's awesome. We're going to close with this. This is all a section on stewardship. Giving, finance, stewardship. And you go all the way to chapter 9, and then you go all the way to the last verse of chapter 9, verse 15. Look what it says. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Do you see that? Do you see how he ends that section? Thanks be unto God. What is my motivation for service? Well, what is my motivation for giving? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. That's my motivation for serving. Real giving may celebrate Christian in churches, but friend, all the glory belongs to God and God alone. That's what he's talking about. I want to introduce you tonight to the one who loves you and who has already provided for your greatest need in your life. That's His Son. That's His Son. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but, I love that, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Romans 8:32 says, He that spared not His own Son, He spared Him not, but He delivered Him up for us all. And then He goes on to say, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Wow. Look what He's given. His Son, heaven's best. And with Him comes everything else. And a lot of times we want to sit back and argue about how much we're going to give. I believe that is detestful to the heart of God when we argue with Him about what do you want me to give. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. Let me ask you a question, just a simple question. Do you believe that? Amen. Well, if I give the, my God shall supply, shall, notice the shalls. That's a commandment, y'all. Yes. He can't go against it. My God shall provide all your needs. How does he do it? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. That's a fund you'll never diminish. He gives according to the riches of his glory. How much is that? Wow. You see, the example of the Macedonians really is not about a great people. That's not why the example's there. It's really about a people who served a great God. That's what the example's about. The emphasis here is, yes, their heart, their motivation. But the main emphasis is about a great God. And I'm telling you, what a great God, what a gracious God, what a generous God we serve. I mean, how can we even have those doubts? And the only question tonight is this. Does he have you? That's the question. Does he have you? You say, well, I've got the Lord. Well, that's great. Does he have you? Have you surrendered and yielded yourself tonight to his plan? What's his plan? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's that going to take? It's going to take a lot. But we'll never diminish his supply. Right? You say, God, I'm praying that you'll give. I'm praying that you'll supply. He will. But how does he do it? He does it through his people. He does it through his churches. That's the mandate given to the church. So therefore, he's going to do it through his churches. I want you to pray about this. This is a big deal, y'all. Lord, what is it you want me to give? What is it you want to give through me? Please, to help the cause of missions. Listen, if the Lord has you, then he also has yours. If he has you, he has yours. And if he has your person, then he also has your possessions. You see, that's how it works. That's how it works. What a great example of giving to the Lord. And I know anytime you preach on money and finances and get, I don't know, I guess that's so personal, isn't it? You know, it just hits home with everybody. But if we could ever ask the Lord to remove the scales from our eyes and allow him to see this concept of giving the way he sees it. He's giving you his best. Somebody ought to write a song about our best. Amen? Our best. That's what he expects. There was a man my dad worked for when I was a baby in Mississippi. His name was R.G. Letourneau. If you've ever heard that name, owned a huge contracting business in Mississippi. Fine Christian man. He tithed 90%, kept 10%. Now, I just want you to think about that principle for a minute. He died a multi-billionaire. Okay? He said there was over 1,000 men working on that barge in Mississippi, my dad being one of them. He'd shut down that barge on Wednesday afternoon, have two Baptist preachers come in and preach to over 1,000 men every Wednesday. My dad said hundreds of men came to know the Lord. And I'm talking about vile men. You hear me? Make a sailor blush. That kind of man. My dad surrendered to preach on that barge. A lot of great things happened. He said, but he would come in, look like he didn't have a dime. You know what I mean? Probably one of the top 10 richest men in the world. But he was always talking about how to give to the Lord. Just give it. Just give it and let him distribute it. Where, and he said it was so simple and so plain, but he lived by it. He just didn't talk about it. He lived by it. Friend, I want to tell you, if we could ever understand that concept tonight, okay, of giving to the Lord, my giving versus what he's given to me. Friend, God will never allow you to outgive him. Under no circumstance in life will you ever be able to outgive him. It's never too much, right? It's never too much. Grace giving. Thank God he is that generous of a God that will allow us the privilege to be a part of his kingdom work down here in this earth. Let's stand together. Father, we come before you tonight, and I know every time, Lord, we look at this, we may just ruffle feathers, and people may still look and say, oh, Lord, you know, I just can't. But, Lord, thank you for the churches of Macedonia, for their example, how so poor and impoverished that they were, yet they just gave. They gave of themselves, and they gave. And it probably wasn't large sums of money as we would look at it, but they just gave what they could, and, Lord, you blessed it. You used it to provide for other believers, other churches, people to hear the gospel. It provided for your missionaries. And Lord, that's just the way it is. When you add your touch to it, it will always be enough. And I pray tonight that you'll help us, help our motivation, help our heart to be generous in giving to the Lord. Most importantly, I pray, if there be someone here tonight that's never been saved, Lord, may they begin by giving their heart and their life to Jesus. And Father, we pray and give you glory in everything that we do and say. Bless this church. Bless this conference. Bless these missionaries and their families. Provide only what you can provide and stir the hearts of your people, Lord, to be that kind of church. We ask you to forgive our sin in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing.
Amen. The altar is open. The altar is open.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Our Father and our God, thank you for the message and the messenger. Thank you for the example of the churches of Macedonia. Thank you, God, for the work you've been doing and are going to do. And Father, we ask that you would do just that. Father, you would stir us from our complacency. And God, you would show us what you can do through us if we just submit and surrender to you. Bless as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man. Look this way. Thank